Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to visit with our outreach fellowship, Lord, and we ask for your anointing upon the fellowship, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time, that you're going to anoint everyone to speak and give revelations and praises. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that even signs and wonders would follow. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We had a wonderful day down here. I think it got up in the 70s, low 70s. Sun shone for most of the day. And so let's get started. Has anybody got a prayer request or would like to pray about something?
I do, Michael.
Oh, okay.
For a while now, I've been concerned about this with my mom, and the Bible study on Sunday just really pronounced it even more. I even mentioned it to Jackie and Marlene when we get together. My mom has this. Well, first of all, let me say this. Guess it's been like maybe 4 years ago, if not more. I had given my mom this book, or I'm not sure if I gave it to her or I told her about it. I don't think I actually had it. I told her about this book that was talked about, because this is back when I was seeking to want to know the truth and things like that, and just looking in a lot of different avenues and different areas and stuff. But anyway, this book by this Christian man about Muslims, and that the basically that the Antichrist was going to come out of the Muslims. You know, that was before I realized that, you know, the Antichrist is a corporate Antichrist spirit is a corporate entity, whatever, like the bride and the man child and so on and so forth. And anyway, I mentioned to her about this book and all. Well, pretty much since then, it's just only gotten, well, it's gotten worse when I say at least the past 2 years. My mom is like, she has this Islamic phobia. She, not just that, but, you know, she's one of these politically charged Christians and so on, you know, like David talks about on the Bible study and everything. And I'm just really concerned about her, and I've prayed about it. And Father, I just you know, my concern for my mom, Lord, I'm concerned that she's so distracted with this, and she's in fear and everything with the whole Muslim thing and Islam religion and even the whole political direction and all. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to take, I bind up these spirits of fear, these religious political spirits and these spirits of Islamic phobia, and just even Lord, and I just bind up these spirits and command them to be still, and you have no power, no authority over my mom in Jesus' name. And Father, I just ask you to open her eyes and her ears, see and to hear your truth, Lord. It's nothing but a distraction from you, Lord, and it only puts fear in her. Help her to recognize that, Lord. And I just, Lord, I feel like at some point you want me to really say something to her. And Lord, I just ask you for wisdom, Lord, and the gentleness and the kindness, Lord, that you would have me speak to her. And I just ask you to open her up to hearing the truth, and shine the light of your truth in her heart, that it dawn on her, you know, where she's at, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you for your mercy and grace upon my mom, and even any other Christians out there, Lord, that are your chosen. They're just like the ones that David's talking about that have been distracted with all these things, and help them to know that what David says, that we're to preach the gospel, the good news for it, and to not promote this political agenda and all these things that cause fear. Help them to know and receive the real good news, the truth. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you sat and you listened to the news every day, you'd be pulling your hair out.
Oh, my Lord.
But Lord, we thank you so much for delivering her of all of that mess in Jesus' name, and that she needs to get her eyes on you, Lord. And we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to place that in her heart to do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael, I got somebody on my heart I'd like to pray for.
Yes, sir.
My sister and brother-in-law that live pretty close to here, we're presently dealing with Charity's mom. I'm dealing with, I shouldn't put it that way. She's living down in El Paso right now. She's staying with her youngest son and his family, and they're taking care of her, and things are going fine there. She had a fall back in October. She fell, had a pretty bad fall, cracked a rib, or fractured a rib, and I think broke a vertebrae or two in her back or neck area, somewhere in there. And you know, she's been healing up okay, but there's just a lot of there's a lot of anxiety on kind of on her part, and then on my sister-in-law and brother-in-law who are taking, you know, kind of been taking care of her bills and the situations that pertain to her. And I just would like to pray that the Lord would give them grace to really, you know, just get their eyes on the Lord. They're just thinking on things and trying to carry things that they're you know, things that they really can't do. There's only so much that do at a time, and then I just got to rest in the Lord. And there's just a lot of mental struggle, and which is, you know, of course, opens the door to anxiety and stuff like that. So yeah, I'd just like to pray that the Lord would, you know, they're in the apostate religious system. They have been, all of them have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they do have that aspect, but yet they're still, you know, there's still some religious bondage, and we know that you know, religion teaches works of the flesh, and the spirits go along with that. So just like to pray, Lord, do a good work in them through all of this. Lord, I thank you, first of all, that you are doing a good work in Charity's mom, Lord, and then Rick and Naomi, that's names of the brothers and in-law and sister-in-law that we're praying for. I thank you for the evidence, Lord, that that you are working in their lives, that you have been working conviction, Lord, and that they do have a walk with you, Lord. I praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would, through these trials, Father, work the conviction in their hearts, Lord, that needs to be worked, so they can get their eyes more on you, Lord, and off the problems, off the circumstances, and wondering about which way to go and trying to reason and figure everything out, Lord, and analyze everything, and just help them to enter more into your rest, Lord. Teach them about what that is, Lord, that they'd have grace, Lord, and the knowledge, the conviction to cast these burdens at your feet, Lord, and to learn to really, really learn to live one day at a time, Lord, as your word says, to take no thought for tomorrow, Lord. Just give them the insight they need for that, Lord, that pertains to the situations they're dealing with, Lord, so that they can grow more in you and not be weighed down and trying to carry things that you're not calling them to carry, Lord, and that they can't really do anything about, Lord. And help them to see, Lord, that as long as they got their hands on it, Lord, you're just backing off, waiting for them, Lord, but that if they'll release the things, Lord, that need to be released to you, then you'll come through and you'll work out your will in those situations, Father. So just thank you for that, Lord. I pray you'd have mercy on them, pour out your grace and your love upon them, Lord, cause their vessels to shine brighter for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we put our faith together with Chad and Charity, and we just believe, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the deliverance, the healing, and setting them free, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, placing them in the rest of the Lord. That's a good place to be.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes, I have a prayer request and a praise report. First off, one of the ladies we prayed for over on the conference call, she died today. She was a minister in sorts. She brought the name of Jesus and the desire to read the scriptures to a lot of young men. And I'm praying for them that they won't turn, that they'll seek to know Jesus better, because they haven't been grounded at all. And for her family, that they be comforted. Also, the praise report I have is the lady we prayed for her liver, and for a sore arm, arm that was hurting, bursitis or arthritis. Her arm is healed, and the liver spot turned out to be nothing. So that was.
Amen.
So I'm glad that I believe it was because of the prayer that came up here, came through the teleconference, that she's been healed. But
amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Wade.
Well, I was just going to say she has come down with a little problem, though. She's got a lymph node that's infected or just inflamed somewhat. I'm praying it'll be nothing. She gets nervous, I guess, kind of easy, because, you know, the liver spot could have been bad, but I don't think bursitis. But I'm glad she's healed, and I'm believing she'll be healed for this lymph node, in Jesus' name. I believe she'll be healed. And
amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe with Wade that she's going to be healed of this. Go ahead.
Her first name is Teresa.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for Teresa's healing. We thank you, Lord, that lymph node is down. We command it to go down in the name of Jesus. We command it to be naught. And, Lord, we thank you that she is healed. And we ask, Lord, that you give her faith to believe that she's healed.
Yes.
And to declare it to the doctors in Jesus' name. And, Father, we just ask for the family members of this lady that died, that you would place the truth in them, the truth of the gospel, and that it would go forth, Lord, and bear fruit through each one of them in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, if there are none of them saved, Lord, that you would draw them to you and grant repentance to them in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in that family because of this lady in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, who's that, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Could you pray for my sister? She called this morning, and she was frightened. She said she thought she had lockjaw, and this is a sister that has been struggling with cancer. I attacked her in the fall, and I've been praying against it. She's in Catholicism, and doesn't really, I guess, understand the healing, and I've tried to explain it, and I had shared on here that's when I got into a little bit of trouble, because what I was sharing, nobody was receptive to, you know, when I had spoken, like, not to receive it and just trust in the Lord. And
right.
So she called this morning, and she called for my nursing knowledge first, and I told her I would pray, and then I told her some things in the natural, what might help her. And she was scared and was going to go to the hospital, and she spoke with her husband, and she decided to stay home. And praise the Lord, she took a nap, and she woke up, and she's feeling better. But I think there's fear there about the cancer returning, and there's fear about heart problems that she's had in the past. And so I would just ask if you could lift her up. Her name is Cheryl.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we lift up Cheryl to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority. Lord, you can turn her around. You can show her the truth just in a, like a flip of the switch. But in the name of Jesus right now, I come against that spirit of fear of cancer in Jesus' name, and I command it to go. I command that fear off of Cheryl right now in Jesus' name, and I command it to go. All kinds of fear, go in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you that you're opening up Cheryl's eyes to see what the Word says about your healing, your promises, Lord. And we thank you that she's going to be open and she's going to start asking the right questions to Jackie. And Jackie's going to be able to minister to her in a way that she would understand. Father, we ask for wisdom for Jackie to give her the knowledge and the understanding and the discernment to open her mouth when she needs to and to be quiet when it's necessary, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, thank you, Lord. I'm going to see her tomorrow, and when I do see her, I lay hands on her, and sometimes I tell her and pray over her, and other times I just will pray, you know, to the Lord and just have my hands on her, and so I'm going to be spending some time with her tomorrow, so hopefully the Lord will use me in some way.
Well, all right, yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you, too, Jackie.
Thanks. Bye.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Dave. I'll ask for some prayer.
Okay. Hi, David.
Hi. You know, I'm 57 now, and I've been around a lot of noise all my life, a lot of from the Air Force and now in the post office. And then I listen to my MP3 player a lot, too. But one of the things I wasn't realizing I was doing was I was trying to drive over top of the noise sometimes with the MP3 player, and I realized what I was doing. So I started wearing ear protection. But prior to that, I've been slowly, you know, I've been losing hearing just because of all the noise I've been around. And now I got ringing in my ears all the time. And it's just, if I'm in the quiet, I hear noise. You know, it's like all the time. So I don't know if it's spirits. I've been trying to cast it off, but it doesn't, you know, that's one of the things I've been looking into. And I don't know what it is, if it's demons or it's just because I've damaged my ears all the years, loud noise I've been around. So I figured I just, it's trying to get the faith, you know, the belief for the healing. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I thought I'd bring it up and let you guys pray for me with that.
All right. Well, that's a lie of the enemy. So we just come against those ringing in your ears. I know something about that. I come against the ringing in the ears. I command them to cease their activities against David. I command the ears to be restored as new before he damaged them. In Jesus' name, Lord, you said we're not under the curse. And if we're not under the curse, he's not under the curse. And we don't have to accept that. In Jesus' name, we command healing in his ears in Jesus' name and in mine too, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that both of us can hear fine in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for that. You believe
Amen.
That, David?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Yes, I need some prayer. Both me and my son have...
Hey, so what can I put here that you don't need?
Okay, go ahead, Peggy.
Oh, okay. Me and my son both have high blood pressure, and he's been praying about it, but we are just not... You know, getting through, or we're just not getting it manifested, and we both need prayer for that.
Okay, sorry, I was muted. Did you say high blood pressure?
Yes, for both of us, my son
okay.
Christopher and me, Peggy.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, just like we said a while ago with David. We're not under the curse. We don't have to accept anything that the natural people tell us. We don't have to accept anything but what your word says. Your word says we're by his stripes you were healed. We were healed. That's past tense. And we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against high blood pressure in both of them. In the name of Jesus, we command that heart and those vessels, veins and blood vessels to open up and be restored as new. And we thank you, Lord, that no more high blood pressure in either one of them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for giving them faith to believe it and to start speaking it rather than speaking the opposite. And we praise you, Father, that they are healed in Jesus' name. You believe that, Peggy?
Yes.
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. You're healed.
God bless you, brother.
Your son. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Sorry about that, Michael. Y'all, your phone was not muted. I'm sorry. Okay. Anybody else have a prayer request?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
I just got a call from Jeff, and he's on his way home. Apparently, Sandy was trying to close the windows, and she did something to her rotator cuff, or whatever they call it. Her whole arm is in, you know, major pain. So he just called and asked if we would just pray and just put our faith together for Sandy. So let's pray. So, Father, right now we just lift up Sandy to you, and we just speak to that arm, and we just command that arm, you know, whatever's going on, you know what's going on. We command it to be, you know, put back into place. We command the muscles and the tendons to be healed in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the pain off her right now. Command that pain to go in the name of Jesus. We call just total restoration into that arm and just total comfort into her body. We just ask you to give Jeff wisdom and allow him to be in the rest and just put peace over him and just guide him. And just we just thank you for the total healing of Sandy's arm right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody else got a prayer request?
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
I'm on a speakerphone here, so.
That's okay.
All of our phone batteries are used up, and they're charging. How about a prayer request for me for faith and to start walking that way like everybody else is doing here? Well, just have the faith of Jesus. And I've got some bone loss that's been going on for many years. Apparently it's genetic. In my bone loss in my under my teeth. So it's getting it has been getting severe, but I just want to pull it off the heavenly shelf there and just stick it in there. So
amen, Lord. We thank you so much that we're not under the curse, like we said before, and we cast down any kind of generational curse on Malcolm in Jesus' name. We count it as null and void. And we praise you, Father, that that generational curse that is no longer applicable to Malcolm. In Jesus' name, we command that bone structure in his jaws to be restored as new. We command the teeth to attach itself to the jawbone and be hard as rock. And, Father, we praise you for it, that he's got a smiling set of teeth now, Lord, that is going to be staying there in the name of Jesus. And any of them that are missing or are getting loose, we command them to be restored as new in Jesus' name. Lord, you got a big old storehouse full of parts up there in heaven. And we just call into it, Lord, and we think that's going to be done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I totally love it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Oh, this is Wade again. My wife and I both have high blood pressure, and we desire to grow in faith to see it come to an end. Also, lately, I've been hearing my heartbeat in my left ear, and it's not bothering me too much. And also, I have tinnitus in my both ears, the ringing in the ears. So I'd like to be free from these things in Jesus' name by his authority and his life in us.
Amen. Yes, you are free of it in Jesus' name. You know, when we pray and we believe what we pray, as it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and we believe what we pray, then it's going to happen, doesn't it? So we just pray for Wade and Jeanette in the name of Jesus, and we command the heart, just like we commanded it somebody else, I forget. But anyway, Lord, we thank you for a good heart. We thank you for a strong heart. And we thank you for the veins and arteries that go from the heart and to the heart to be completely restored as new. And we thank you, Lord, that you're giving faith to Wade and Jeanette to believe what your word says, Lord, and that they'll quit speaking the curse on themselves and start speaking the blessings. And Father, we thank that for everybody in this conference call, that we're going to start speaking blessings and not curses. And we praise you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, I believe it with all my heart, Wade and Jeanette, that y'all are healed in Jesus' name. What about you?
Yes, we believe.
Amen, brother, sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Wade and Jeanette's healing and everybody else's healing in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Whew. You know what it says in Job chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. We have to act in faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We can ask anything we will, and it's going to be done. So we just believe that everybody's healed tonight in the name of Jesus. Me too. Me too, Lord, and I praise you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? You know, we're experiencing in over here in the valley, a lot of people are getting this crud caused by the chemtrail jockeys. And we're praying against that, and we believe God's going to just stop it. Over this valley, we're praying against it in Jesus' name, and I command these chemtrail jockeys to cease their activities against your people in Jesus' name, and I command the curse to fall back on them that they're trying to put on the people in the name of Jesus, that they would experience what the people down here are experiencing. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to change them, you're going to take them out of this valley, and everywhere there's your people, Lord, that they're not going to have it anymore in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're on to Psalms 91. We declare it and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're on fire tonight, amen. Brother. Amen. I'm Malcolm, I'm over here muted, but I'm like, woohoo.
You know, faith, if it don't have works, it's dead in itself. So we're working, man. I tell you, we're declaring it. We're sticking by it in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
You know, I like what David says a lot of times. You know, we got people that, and I don't like, he doesn't like put law on anybody, but if you feel bad, go to the fellowship where you fellowship with or the people you fellowship with, call them up and say, hey, man, pray for me. Instead of just sitting there in all your misery and get rid of that thing. You're going to feel bad whether you go to fellowship or not. You're going to feel bad whether you call somebody or not. So you might as well go ahead and call and get some prayer for it, you reckon? I believe that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else need prayer? God is wonderful. He is so loving toward us. He has a whole lot more grace than we do. And that grace comes because of faith. And we praise God for the faith he's given us. We just believe, don't we? We just believe that when we pray, it's going to happen. And when it happens, we get these praise reports. We get these testimonies of God's goodness toward us. And that's how God's grace is brought forth, is by our faith in him to bring it forth. That grace is what heals us and saves us, and delivers us, sets us free, praise God. Amen? Amen. All right, anybody else need prayer? All right, how about a praise report or a testimony? But we had an awesome time in the Lord last night in the local fellowship.
Michael? I'd like to share something here.
Okay.
Just a minute ago when you said faith without works is dead, the Lord was really impressing that up on me today. He was giving me, he was really speaking to me, like giving me verses at random and stuff like that. And he was just really encouraging me to speak up more and give my personal testimony more to people and know things that the Lord has done and for me, healings and whatever, you know, especially to people who that's not common for them, you know, to believe those kind of things. But anyway, and so I was asking the Lord about one particular thing as far as healing something that I've been battling with for a long time. And And I ask the Lord for verses and all, and so I'm like, well, Lord, you know, what about this, you know? And he gave me, I was just like, Lord, just give me just a strong, clear word, you know. And I know I'm supposed to, you know, believe that I am healed and things like that. And this is what he gave me, and he gave me this before. We'll all remember on the Bible study. But anyway, he gave me Esther 5:1. And now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the entrance of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee even to half of the kingdom. And Esther said, if it seem good unto thee, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. But anyway, you know, I was looking through this, and you know, it's like, I had to giggle when they were talking about this one time. He said, come on, get it out, Esther, just asking, you know, she asking. Finally, you know, if I have favor with you, I forget exactly how she says it and that kind of thing. And you know, he told her up to half the kingdom, you know, and like the Lord showed me before, just ask. Ask and I'll give it to you. And not only do you not have to ask, it's one of my promises. So, yeah, you can ask, but also at the same time claim that it's yours. I've given you authority. It's kind of like the Lord was saying, I've given you authority. You know, I've given you authority, and I was looking at this whole thing, and it was like, you know, like we've been hearing a lot lately. You know, the king did not withdraw the decree or whatever it was for the people to be killed, but he gave them authority over the enemy, over the beast, and so over the flesh, you know. So it's like the Lord saying, just ask. And I'll give it to you. And what came to my mind, too, was, you know, the Lord said, you know, I have authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it up. We have authority to say no to the flesh. We have authority over the enemy who operates through our flesh. And so I just felt like... The Lord wanted me to share that, you know.
Amen. You know, he wants us to just step up and go right on in there and claim the land, don't he?
Amen.
He wants us to step up and say, I'll take that half, King, praise God, and I thank you for it. And when we do, guess what happens? Our faith increases. He builds us up, and we just walk in the signs and wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ every day, being led by the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. That's good, Missy. Thank you. All right. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Do what?
I was just thanking the Lord, giving him the glory and honor and praise.
Okay. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Or something that the Lord has given you that you'd like to share with us that would bless us?
Hey, Mike. This is Mike Green.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
All right. How's everything?
Oh, man. We're blessed. Thank you so much for the blessings you gave us.
You know, I had a good time, too.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought I would try to get back into the Abraham study. And I'm just going to go ahead and try to break down what I've gotten out of the first four chapters. As everybody will remember, or you probably don't remember, the last time I was able to get in, what I had been doing was studying some of the harder, to me, more interesting Bible verses that once you actually study them, you start to get a whole lot more out of it. And I was looking at the whole story of Abraham as a picture of the end-time man-child and just, you know, made some, saw some revelations in some of the things I was looking at. And I just like to go through the first four chapters of it and get started with that again tonight.
We'll go right ahead, brother.
All right. Well, as you know, the first chapter of the Abraham story starts in Genesis 11. And that's when they mention the Tower of Babel and the line of Shem that came down to Abraham. So the nations were divided at Babel. Terah was Abraham's father. And Terah took Abraham and Lot out of Ur, where they were living, into a land called Haran. Haran means parched or dry, and that was in Canaan. Lot was Abraham's cousin. Lot's father was Haran, the brother of Terah, who died in Ur. And I thought it was interesting that Lot's father, his name was Haran, and they moved to the land of Haran. You know, I don't know if anybody else gets anything out of that. I don't quite yet, but that's just one of those interesting things that you don't really see until you start reading into it. Sarah, or Sarai, as she was then, many of the Bible concordances say that her name, Sarah, meant the same thing as it did afterwards, which means princess. But actually, Sarai means striving or contentious. When she became Sarah, that meant princess or like a royal person. In Genesis 12, that was when Abraham received the promises from God and they went to Egypt. So Aaron is told to leave his family and separate and move to the land that God would show him. And that was Abram as the man child coming out of Babylon. And of course he obeyed, and that was the first test for him to be obedient to God. The promises made the first time from God to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed, which means everybody, of course, is a spiritual descendant of Abraham if you believe in Jesus and you're going after God. So in Canaan, God appeared to Abraham, and what he said was, unto thy seed I will give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The interesting thing that happens next is that Abraham journeys into Egypt. And I had never recognized that that was a picture of Joseph and the patriarchs, because it was pretty much exactly the same story. Abraham journeyed to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. He makes a deal with Sarai to pretend to be his sister, and she actually was his sister. They had, if I recall right, they had the same father and different mothers. It's interesting to me that the commentaries kind of look at that as Abraham being cowardly and kind of hiding behind her skirts. But you'll notice that the Bible story doesn't judge Abraham at all for this. And what it did was create an opportunity to create a type and for God to show his power. So when they get to Egypt, Pharaoh takes Sarah, which is kind of a picture of the worldly king taking the church, and she's saved by God, and he sends plagues against Pharaoh's house, which is exactly the same thing that happened in the Exodus. Abraham survives the famine because he went to Egypt. And once again, like in the Exodus, he comes away with money. He was sent out of Egypt with extra money and goods. You know, Pharaoh was kind of telling him, you know, take what you got and get going out of the land. So Abraham goes back to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. So he, once again, he's like the man-child coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. Once again, he's receives another promise from God. He is told that his descendants will inhabit the land and will be innumerable. He separates from Lot, which is another interesting end time picture. When they came back from Egypt, Lot went to Sodom. It's generally thought that he kind of chose with his eyes and, you know, went to a worldly place. And eventually that cost him everything. At the end of the day, he lost all that he had. And Lot is kind of a picture of a professing Christian who tries to make the best of both worlds. You know, he knew what Abraham was all about and the blessings that he had, but still he chose to go and live in Sodom, which was kind of a bad deal. Again, Abraham gets the same promise from God that his descendants will inhabit the land and be innumerable. They will walk the land. In other words, they will take over from the old man. And at the end of chapter 13, he's sent to dwell in a land called Mamre, which means strength and fatness. So we will be blessed when we take over our own internal land from the old man. Chapter 14 starts, it's the War of the Kings, where Lot is taken captive, and Abraham goes and rescues him, and Melchizedek, which is a picture of Jesus, blesses Abraham. The interesting thing about this chapter is this is the first recorded war in the Bible. It's a coalition of four nations versus a coalition of another five nations. And it's four versus five, which of course equals nine. That's the number of divine judgment. And Lot certainly did get judged for going in and living in Sodom, even though he was kind of a righteous guy at the end of the day. One commentary says that the kings, in other words, the worldly kings, the worldly leaders, started out warring in the book of Genesis, and they're still at it all the way at the other end of the Bible in the book of Revelations. And you kind of look at those coalitions of people getting together to have a war, although you can kind of figure that was just really just a few people back then, and it's going to be the whole world in Revelations, you know, from the beginning to the end. Next time, I'm going to go on and finish out with Genesis chapter 14 because it's extremely interesting, the names of the kings and the people that fought the War of the Kings in Genesis 14. And some other good stuff happened there. So I'll leave off there and pick it up again next time.
All right. Thank you, Michael. That's some interesting types and shadows there. That's awesome. Thank you, sir. Looking forward to next week.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else like to share something?
Hi, Michael. This is Amber.
Hey. Yeah, Amber.
Hey. Michael asked me to share a conversation I had with him last night, and I have to say when I got his text, my mind went blank as to what it was I said. So if you all just say a quick prayer that the Lord will remind me and that he'll just speak what he would like to share with you. The other night I went home, you know, like we all do, and I got in bed and I was just seeing my sins. I saw, you know, the ugliness of the day or whatever, and I was just crying out to the Lord, and I went to sleep. And then I had this awesome dream, and it was just so funny. And I just, the next day, I just laughed all day, and I was just so happy. And I'd love to share the dream with you, but it was really personal, really exposed some vulnerability, so I'll just tell you a little bit about what he showed me in the dream. And that is about our vulnerability. You know, we will not we see our sins? It's horrible. You know, we just want to tell the Lord, don't look, you know, look away, you know, at the horridness of our sins. And it's just so hard to expose that to him because we see some ugly. And, you know, obviously the Lord has seen it already. He already knows it. So that he was showing me that when we come before him and we expose our sins, when we're vulnerable to the Lord, he finds that attractive. That's, it's almost in the way that if a man were looking on a woman in a bikini, you know, that he would find that attractive. And that's not to mean that he finds our flesh attractive, but the fact that we trust him, that we expose ourselves to him, and that he covers us. You know, he covers that nakedness, but the fact that we trust him so much and that we, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just, it's such a peace and how much he loves us. And if we want to, and it's just one of the ways we can be attracted to the Lord is coming before him and showing, you know, and being open to the fact and knowing that our vulnerability, our willingness to trust him is attractive to the Lord. And that's it.
Amen. That's right. So if we Lord already knows everything we've done. You might as well go ahead and expose it to him. Just confess it. And get it over with. I'll tell you what. I hope Amber doesn't mind me sharing this. When she first came here, she wasn't very amenable I guess you'd call it. She had a, looked like she was under a depression a little bit. And since then, since I guess about the last couple of weeks or so, the joy of the Lord is all over that girl, and she is just a joy to watch. And she's opened up, and the Lord has freed her up and set her free, and I praise God for it. Thank you, Lord. Right, Amber?
Oh, yes, he has. I really had depression for a long, long time, and it's been years. He's just slowly pulled me out of it, delivered me from demons, but more and more he just shows me how much he loves me, and he's just freed me from idols, you know, that really put me down, and I just feel so free in him. I just feel just set free, so happy, and it's just such a place of peace. So praise him.
Amen. She's happy, happy, happy. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, that's a good testimony. I think we all want a testimony like that, where we're resting in the Lord and we're happy to be in the Lord, and we have the joy of the Lord all through our hearts and our being and our spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. I just choose to be happy. How about y'all?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Hi, Michael. It's Belinda.
Hey, Belinda.
Michael called me and asked me if I'd like to share something that happened last night in our Monday night prayer meeting. I'm like Amber. I'm trying to recall because when the move of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, sometimes you know you can't remember. You're in the moment and you can't remember things like everyone listening can. But I prayed and asked the Lord if he would bring some of it back to my remembrance, and maybe some of you out there can remember some of the things that were said as well. So if you want to come on after I'm finished, please feel free. But last night, the Lord just, the Holy Spirit just started moving in me last night. It started out with singing, and then it just went into praying in tongues, and then the Lord just started giving some interpretation of what he was revealing what was in his heart through me last night, which was amazing because this has never happened to me before. So it was a very awesome experience, a very humbling experience, to say the least. But one of the things that the Lord really was driving home was the fact that we really need to be getting prepared. Time is short, he said, and we need to humble ourselves before him, and that we need to search our hearts for anything that's in there that needs to come out, if there's any unforgiveness, just any idols, just whatever it is, to go before him, humble yourself before him, and do it now. Do it quickly. Don't wait. Confess what needs to be confessed. And what was awesome was he opened his heart up to me. You know, I got to see how he felt about things. I could feel the joy of how much he loves us, but I could also feel the pain of where he's pleading for us to get things right with him. And don't put things off. If you've been putting something off, to please just put everything aside. Don't be embarrassed to confess, because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all should be loving each other and just encouraging each other and just helping each other just get where we need to be. And it was just so awesome for him to show up last night and just reveal his heart to us, and just assuring us that he's always with us. He hears everything. He sees everything. And he really wants us to succeed.
You know, what's amazing to me, Belinda, is his love toward us, even though when we fail him, he just keeps loving us and keeps encouraging us. Get back up, boy. Get on the road again. Come on now. I love you. Come on. You know? And that's the way God is. See, his grace is so much more than we can comprehend or understand. And all we have to do is just confess our sins. Get before God. Hey, listen, time is actually very, very close. This ain't fixing to happen, it looks like. And when it happens, boy, you want to be ready. You want to be in the bride. You want to be in that place of where you're walking with the Lord, and the Lord is guiding you. He's every step. He's talking to you. He's preparing your heart for the things that are coming. When the things that come, they're not going to be a big deal to you. He's going to show you how to get through them. So, yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I was just going to share that last night when Belinda, because we were just praying in the Spirit, and then Belinda started, you know, singing in the Spirit, and then it pretty much turned to kind of praying and or singing and weeping in the Spirit, and then it just, you know, the power of the Lord just came over her, and then she was just totally wailing in the Spirit. And when that was going on, I could feel like radiating off of Belinda was just, I mean, was just the power of the Lord. I could just feel it, just, you know, it was just the presence was just so powerful. You know, when he was administering through her, it was just, you know, I could just feel that, you know, his presence, it was just amazing. And then afterwards I was talking to Belinda, and she was sharing that, you know, during that time, it felt like her whole, you know, her whole body was on fire, you know, when God was, you know, just, speaking through her. So it was just, it was pretty cool. So I just want to share that.
Amen. It was an awesome time in the Lord. Awesome time. You know, about 3 years ago, maybe a little over 3 years ago, the Lord told us that when our hearts came together in one accord, that he was going to drop in. And I believe we're getting closer and closer and closer. And I believe we're fixing to see this thing happen. I do. I think revival is just on the verge of happening. He's just waiting, you know, for all of us to get right and to get serious with the Lord. When you're serious with the Lord, he'll get serious with you. Amen. Anybody else? Who was that? Somebody want to talk? Okay. Anybody got something they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael, real quick. I muted Ian. So, Ian, if you can mute your phone, I'm going to unmute you.
Amen.
Michael?
Yeah.
This is Claudia. I just wanted to say that as I'm getting more sanctified, that I've been having more revelations and dreams and answers to prayer. But also today I just asked the Lord for a verse for UBM, and I got Joel 3:16, and it's, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So I just want to share that.
Amen. We receive it. Thank you, Lord. That's for all of us. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, Pamela just stopped by, and Steve is going to leave for Indiana tomorrow morning because his mother is in that coma, and she is in the process of dying, so he's praying that he does get there in time and everything. So I just like to lift up Steve Orr, and dear Heavenly Father, I'm lifting up Steve Orr to you to have him have a safe trip tomorrow when he leaves for Indiana, and that he will put peace and understanding in his mind, that he doesn't have to worry while he's driving, and that his mother is doing okay, and when he gets there, that he just pray for her that she is going to go to heaven. I don't really know how her soul is or anything, so I can't say for that, but Lord, just be with him and give him understanding and his whole family understanding, and then be with Pamela while he's gone. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask while Steve is gone, you work on his heart, Lord, and that you draw him to you and you grant repentance to him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank
yes,
you, Lord.
Thank you for that, praise too, yes.
Okay, anyone else? Anybody like to share anything? All right. Let's see what we can do here. You know, we're in this curse of unforgiveness. And we're in the chapters now that talks about a factious spirit, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, whenever it was. And I just wanted to share a couple of things out of this book in chapter 6 that really might help us all. In Exodus 3 and 11, Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should..." All right, can y'all mute your phones, please? Okay. "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Exodus 4 and 1. Hey, Ian, there you go. Thank you. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Exodus 4 and 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And Moses said unto the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And he said, "O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And you know, Moses said, "Lord, give it to somebody other than me. I'm not qualified for the job." But how many of you know that that's the people that God uses, the ones that are not qualified? That way it's not them that's doing it. It's the Lord doing it through them, right? So he got Moses and he sent him on his way. And he didn't want that job. And David was talking about the 250 men with Dathan and Abiram and Kohath, or the son of Kohath. Now, Korah, Dathan and Abiram, he was talking about them and how that they wanted to usurp that power from Aaron and Moses. That was a factious spirit. That's somebody that's coming against. They've got a selfish ambition, and they seek to win followers by causing division. They go around behind these people's back, Moses' back and Aaron's back, and they say, "Well, you know, that old Moses, he was probably a slick talker too, and pretty charismatic, I'm sure, and he's probably a good-looking man." And they were going behind Moses' back, and they were looking for a position, weren't they? And but the Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, a factious man after a first and second admonition refused. Those factious spirits that were in Korah and Abiram and Dathan wanted to get that position that wasn't theirs. They weren't even ordained to get it. Moses and Aaron were ordained by God to have that position. And all the miracles that they saw wasn't by Aaron and Moses. It was by God through them, and they didn't. And they were talking against it. So here they were, Korah and Dathan and Abiram, talking against God's ordained authority without going directly to Moses and Aaron first. But you know what? The Lord tells us not to even listen to them. We talked about this last week. You're not to even listen to them. You're not to even greet them. You tell them to go speak to that person. You tell them, you say, hey, look, you need to go talk to Moses. You need to go talk to Aaron. Because I'm not the one you need to be talking to. I ain't listening to it. I'm not supposed to listen to it. The word says. And what they accused Moses of was a complete lie anyway. They didn't catch him in any immorality because there wasn't no sin for him to find. They were claiming that Moses and Aaron were lifting themselves up over the congregation when in fact the Lord did that. In Romans 2 and chapter 8, it says, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. That ain't a good thing. That's what these people found. They found the wrath and indignation of God. And they didn't find any unforgiveness whatsoever, because God has taken his forgiveness away from every one of them by what they said through about Moses and Aaron. In Numbers 16:4, it says, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, in the morning the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he shall choose will he cause to come near unto him. Hey, listen, it was that away from the beginning. Moses went up on the mount. He was the one whose face shone with the glory of God. He was the one God used to part the sea and to do all of those miracles through Aaron. You know, I often wonder, how can they forget that stuff that God did through Moses and Aaron so quickly? They accused Moses of doing those things. They were just blinded by a lust to rule. What happened? They didn't mind tearing the true leadership down in order to do that. You know, the Lord is the one that gives and ordains leadership. He's the one. He always picks somebody that's low on the totem pole, right? Or the world thinks is low on the totem pole. Number 16:6, it says, this do, take your censers, Korah, and all this company, and put fire in them, put incense upon them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Somebody needs to mute their phone.
It's me, Michael.
Oh, okay. I'll do it. Thank you, Wade. Now, let's see, where was I? He says, before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Okay. I'm having trouble here. Hey, Tim, help me out. For some reason, I'm not able to mute them. Linda, you need to be muting. There you go. Did you come in on Kevin? Okay, let's go on. Now, Korah was a Levite. Well, Dathan and Abiram was not, but there was a crowd of people following Korah, and some of these were Levites who obviously were wanting to take over that high priesthood. So the Levites were ordained, but they were not able to take that position of the high priest. And who is a high priest? That's Jesus Christ. Even today, we have people who are ordained or leading God's people astray after themselves and not after the Lord. Who's the high priest? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 16:8 says, and Moses said unto Korah, hear now, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? and that he hath brought thee near, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? Now, he was talking about that high priesthood. Numbers 16 and 11 says, therefore thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. They weren't against Moses and Aaron. They were against the Lord himself. When God's ordained leadership is in the will of God, and they're not in sin, then they have the same grace that you and I have. But when you're coming against them, that means you're considering them not worthy of grace. And God's going to judge you because you're coming against the Lord, and you're not coming against man. When you come against God's ordained ministers of authority, you're coming against God himself, and that's not a healthy thing to do. Y'all remember what Peter said against Ananias and Sapphira? That wasn't a good thing, was it? Acts 5 and 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? And while it remained, did it not remain thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? How is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all that heard it. And the young men arose, and they wrapped him round, and they carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, we sold it for that much. But Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. And great fear, that's fear of the Lord, came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. You know, that brings a lot of fear, wouldn't it? Well, this same thing is going to happen in the days ahead. That God is serious about factious people. He doesn't like it. He's not going to have it. And don't be surprised if you don't see some of this happening. Now, and this, it goes on to say, it says, then Moses goes on to identify these factious people as murmurers. What's a murmur? That's somebody's complaining all the time. Numbers 16 and 11, therefore thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord and Aaron. What is he that ye murmur against him? Y'all remember who it was that died in the wilderness, don't you? It was the people who murmured against the Lord. It was every one of them that complained. Said, no, we can't go in there and take the land. Them some big old folks out there. We can't go in there and get it. Exodus 16 and 7. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we? That ye murmur against us. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord himself. Numbers 11 1. And the people were as murmurers, speaking evil in the ears of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and devoured in the uttermost part of the camp. In Psalm 106:24, it says, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he sware unto them that he would overthrow them in the wilderness. These people were speaking against God's ordained leadership and being unforgiving and bitter against him, as though Moses and Aaron were the ones doing all this. And Moses even said, and Aaron, what is he that you murmur against him? What Moses was saying, Aaron ain't nothing. He's nothing but a vessel through whom God was doing that work. So if you cry and you murmur against a vessel of the Lord, and you're crying against the Lord, these murmurers, these complainers, these criticizers were being bitter and unforgiving toward Moses. But the problem wasn't with Moses, and the problem wasn't with Aaron. The problem was with those people, wasn't it? They were causing faction within the people of God. God's serious about that. He don't want it. He ain't going to have it. And he's going to take care of it real quick. Now, there is a time for personal forgiveness, and there's a time for governmental unforgiveness. But here, God wasn't going to forgive them. He wasn't going to allow Moses to forgive them for creating division among the people. He was going to speak judgment through Moses and Aaron. So I guess the Lord wanted me to bring this to you in order for you to understand about faction. Faction is talking against the ordained leadership that God ordained. No one else but God ordained the leadership, and trying to come against them in any kind of way. We've had that happen time and time again, because of egos, because of pride, because of whatever, rejection. It doesn't make any difference. They don't want to change, and they want to do their own way. They want to go your own way. You can't go your own way in God's kingdom. You have to go God's way. And that's becoming more evident every day that we seek the Lord. All right. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or comment on?
Hello? Mike?
Yeah, go ahead, Lena. I'm sorry I was muted out.
Oh, okay. You know, on that passage you were reading, the Lord showed me, you know, when they lied to the, you know, about their situation, that is what we do when we lie to each other. We're lying to the Holy Spirit in each other, and we really need to be careful, because that's what we're doing. We're lying to the Holy Spirit in each other. So I just thought that was an interesting point that we all need to keep in mind.
Amen. Yep, you don't want to be caught lying to God.
Yeah, and we are when we're lying to each other, because the Holy Ghost is in each one of us.
Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else like to share something?
Hey, Michael, I'll add to that.
Okay.
Yes, I was listening to, what is it, Diablos, the series on the slander, and David said something in there, and it's just when Linda shared that, it you know, kind of hit a nerve here. But what he said in there is that we got to be real careful, because if we share something that somebody else has told us, and if it's a lie, then we've become a liar. And so if we're listening to liars and we're sharing what liars, you know, have told us, because sometimes, you know, there's two sides of every story, and we hear one side of the story and we may think that's real, or we may think that's true, or we may share that or tell somebody else that. But if that isn't the truth and that person is lying to us, we've actually become a liar. Is you know, the intent I got was that if we listen to liars or we repeat liars, you know, and we don't know if it's a lie. That's why we've got to be very careful on sharing stuff that we hear. So when Linda shared that, I thought, well, that's, you know, that's something that kind of, you know, convicted me, and when I was listening to a Bible study. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and when somebody comes around you talking about somebody else, first thing you ought to do is to, hey, listen, I'm not listening to this. You need to go to them, just like the Word says. Because if you don't, that spirit will jump on you and you'll be taken out with them. That's just a natural fact. We've seen that happen time and time again here. So, you know, just we have to be very careful when it comes to God's people. You know, a lot of times, I understand this, but it's still against the Word. We have friends. We have dear friends that are doing this at times. And after they have been, the Lord has taken them out of the fellowship, then we might see them out somewhere else, you know. But the Lord said, don't even greet them. But if you greet them, guess what happens? You open the door, just like Aaron was talking about last week. You open the door to that spirit, and the torment spirit comes on you. And boy, you got a battle in. So just be very careful. Very careful. Do you fear man or do you fear God? That's the problem. A lot of times we fear man more than we fear God. When you have a healthy fear of God, then everything's going to be fine. When you understand that God's the one that can zap you out of here and send you to hell or send you to heaven, that's the ultimate judgment right there. And that's the one you ought to be afraid of. That's the one you ought to have a healthy fear of. And God wants us to love him, but he also wants us to respect him and his word for what it says. Amen. Michael Montana, you want to share anything?
How are you doing, brother?
I am so blessed.
We just got back to Montana. It's kind of unwinding a little bit. It's been kind of trying to simulate what we saw and what we felt down there. I think that one thing that stands out to me is that it's the little things every day in our life that it's like if you're looking at a live report on the stock market and you're watching what it's doing second by second, it's moving up and down, little up and down like this. But if you get back and look at what's happened over the last 2 months or over the last year, you can see exactly what the trend is doing. And in our lives, it's the same thing. I was watching, it's the little things every day that make the difference. It's the words we speak, the thoughts we think, the disciplines of our life. I'm watching people that I haven't seen in 16 years, and all of a sudden you can see, boy, there's a real trend, and it wasn't good. Or we had very few what we would call bright spots in our whole trip of connecting with brethren, many of which I haven't seen for many years. But I'm recognizing in my own life, you know, it's the little things every day. Everything that happens in our life happens on a today. It doesn't happen. It's easy, and I've done this. I've lived like this. I hear people all the time talking, and we've mentioned that before, where they've said, well, when the kids grow up, then I'm going to really get serious, or after the house is paid off, or when I retire. And all of a sudden I'm looking at people, and of course I'm not a young fella myself, and I was with several people. I was in three different houses where people were 75 years old, and I'm 65, and I look at these things, and you know what's going to happen. It better happen pretty soon when you're looking in the mirror and things aren't looking like they used to. And I'm just recognizing that you can't let the days go by. You know, Paul talked about redeeming the time because the days are evil, and how easy it is to just kind of like, well, someday I'm gonna really get into fasting someday, and someday I'm gonna really get into Word. I'm gonna really start putting the Word in my heart, and someday I'm gonna really take it time to really become a prayer warrior and become a real intercessor. And someday I'm going to really start sharing the gospel with people around me. And I just recognize that today in the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today the Holy Ghost saith, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. It says in the scripture that the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day is uttering speech. Night unto night is showing knowledge. Wisdom cries daily gates. There's a declaration going on all the time. There's God speaking, and I see the tendency, the terrible tendency of, someday putting off the things. But it's those little things. I know in my heart that we don't get every day. We're either getting more fervent in spirit, more in love with God, or there's a trend going one way or another. We are not sitting still. Nobody is sitting still. We are either taking a hold of the things that draw our hearts away from the spirit. We're either walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh. It's happening all the day, every day. And The only thing we're taking with us is what's been sown in the Spirit and what's been sown in love, in our relationship with God and in the way we've invested in one another's lives. And I think the overwhelming thing in my spirit that I come back with is that it's very hard, the hardest thing in the world. It's easy to see Jesus as Martha did. If you had been here, Lazarus would never die. She had faith in the past of what the things God used to do. Remember when God used to do? I see people all the time that are talking about, you remember how it was? It used to be when the old Jesus movement, I have friends that are all caught up in what it used to be in the old days. Remember what it was like back in 1970 and 1968? Wasn't that marvelous? But God ain't there anymore. Today, we're back here in 2015. And then we've got those that are going, well, I know Lazarus will rise in that last day. And I hear all about the great visitation that's going to come someday. But the question I have is, are we encountering the Jesus that says, I am the resurrection and the life right now, present tense, today? He is the resurrection and the life. And we've got to somehow take hold of and redeem the time and cause our spirits and our hearts and our souls to encounter God today. And when we encounter the world, that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, not the salt that's lost its savor, but the salt that is salty, and we affect those around us, they don't affect us. And that every single day when we go out and every single thing that we do it as unto the Lord. That whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But I know that the hardest thing in the world is to truly get a hold of the Jesus that says, I am. Not the Jesus that I was or the Jesus that will be, but the Jesus that says, I am the resurrection and the life. And I know right now that one thing, the world is full of people that are, the whole world is filled with this. You can see it probably the clearest in the military. The serving is always done up. You know, if you're a private, you look up to the sergeant. If you're a sergeant, you're looking up to the lieutenant or whoever it is. All these other, everybody's up to the top until you got the general, and everybody licks his boots, and that's the way they want it taught. But Jesus said, the Gentiles of this world exercise dominion, but it shall not be so with you. The greatest among you is the servant of all. And brethren, the greatest thing we can do in this life right now is to walk that low road, to walk in humility, in mercy, and in love with our brethren, to serve Christ by becoming the greatest in the kingdom, by becoming the servant of all. We don't need everything. That Hollywood, who's the hottest thing on Hollywood? Who's the greatest sports player? Who's the greatest? And the churches run the same way. Who's the hotshot? Who's the great preacher? Who's building the biggest church? Who's got the most money? But brethren, with us, it's got to be, who's the one that is seeking the honor of God and doesn't want to be honored in men's eyes, that seeks the honor of God and is willing to take up the towel and to gird themselves and to become the servant of all. And I believe with all my heart that that's the direction that God wants us at this time to go, is to walk in a walk where we're doers of the word. We're not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We're seeking the honor of God. We're seeking to walk in love with our brethren. We're seeking to walk in humility, because God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. And then it says, to the merciful man, God will show himself merciful. But to the froward, God will show himself froward. And I think with James 3, when he says, and brethren, in many ways, don't be many teachers, because in many ways we do all offend. And Jesus made it pretty clear when the rich young ruler said, and good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God alone. And one brother said it years ago, that only one man ever lived his Christian life, and if he doesn't live it in you, it's not to be lived. And we just need to walk in that place, because God will give grace to the humble. And be very careful, because right now my wife and I are encountering currents that are stronger than anything we've ever seen before. It's currents of darkness, a great assault against the people of God in the spirit, and it's coming in the flesh too. But it's a time, brothers, to stay humble in that low road, walk in mercy, and redeem the time. And today's the day that we need to start that trend, going in a different direction. If we're not in a place where we are giving God the priority of our time and affection and hearts, to begin to do so and to walk in the Spirit, because if we're walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and if you live in the Spirit, you're not under the law. And it's the law of the Spirit of life that's going to set us free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. Get right or get left. That's the message right now. You know, the Lord is really wanting us to get close to Him. As Amber and Belinda was talking about, He desires us to be as close to Him as we can become. And we can become just as close to Him as you want to become. If you just lay everything out for Him, just lay it out. Praise God. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to add?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Carol.
Okay. I was going to share with you something that the Lord showed me many years ago about forgiveness. And I was going to a Bible school, and before I left, I heard about a brother in the Lord that was making some really bad statements about me. And it hurt, because I really felt that we were close. But anyway, I went on to Bible school, and while there, one day, I had the Lord had really blessed, and I was just so full of joy. And that evening, was I was getting ready for bed, and I was talking to Him, and I said, "Oh Lord, You have blessed me so much this day. How can I bless You?" And right away He spoke, and He said, "Forgive Dick." And I said, "But Lord, he's the one who hurt me." And it was just so strong, "Forgive Dick." And I thought about it, and finally I said, "All right, I'll forgive him, but you have to give me the grace to do it." And a couple weekends later, I had come back home, and I was sitting in a rocking chair and just worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden that grace just poured into my heart, and I knew that that I forgave Dick. And the next day, I went to see him and didn't say anything to him about the statements that had been said, but he met me with open arms. And, you know, it was like our hearts reunited again. And nothing was said, but the Lord did it all. And He just showed me His heart then, how important it is that we forgive and don't have any unforgiveness in our hearts toward anyone.
Amen. None. Zilch. Nada. You can't have an ounce of it in your heart and expect to go to heaven. What amazes me is how I thought that unforgiveness was, and when I truly found out what unforgiveness was, man, it's so much deeper.
Yes.
Than just... oh yeah, I forgive them, but I ain't going to forget them. Well, you didn't forgive them, you know.
Right.
When anger rises up in you, that's unforgiveness. When hurt comes into your heart, that's unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, that's
it is.
It's, so all of that applies. When you've been hurt somebody, boy, you better get rid of it real quick. Give it
to
the Lord.
And that's part of our cleansing process.
Amen. Well, thank you, Carol. That was awesome. All right, anyone else? Somebody else wanted to say something a while ago.
Yeah, I got some thoughts to share, Michael. You know, Lord just reminded me of the other day as Brother Michael Montana was sharing there about just really being, you know, walking the low road and being surrendered to the Lord. Every moment, it's not a, you know, it's like, I've been asking the Lord for a while, and He's been faithful to do it. Been asking Him to do a much deeper work in my heart and just, you know, just to help me get really real with Him. And so He's been bringing the Word to my understanding in a lot deeper way. You know, like, but we, you know, we say, well, I surrender, you know, I surrender all, or I'm surrendered to the Lord. It's like, okay, yes, but how much and how often, you know, and I'm just getting this very acute awareness of how much I really belong to Him, you know, more and more, that I am not my own, not for one moment of the day, and I've been crying out to the Lord for the reality of that, you know, that I really am, I really want to be led of the Spirit in all things, and at all times. And He's been good. He's been good and faithful to deal with me on these things. You know, it's crucifying, and it's a very narrow road, but His grace is sufficient. You know, and I find as I'm getting really, really just brutally honest before Him in my heart, asking Him to bring to my attention throughout the day where I'm out of step with Him. You know, He brought up a dealing in my life that started in a much deeper way yesterday of how much I can be deceived by my own emotions. You know, I've known that, you know, in theory, I've known that mentally for a while, and I've known that by experience too, to a degree, but the Lord just, you know, brought it more to my attention yesterday and did a good exposing, and, you know, I just been crying out to Him to, really be careful not to be manipulated by my own emotions. The Lord led me somewhere yesterday on YouTube. There was a good little little 5 minute or so segment on you know, getting rid of idolatry and a little bit about, well, a guy gave his testimony about how the Lord had dealt with him you know, how to, or some, just some ideas about what might be idols in your own life, and because I've been, you know, wanting the Lord to deal with me on that too a lot more, and He's been doing that, and he mentioned about, or what was mentioned was about, putting out that, let's see, I'm sorry, I'm confusing two different things I saw, on there, there was somebody that shared about the Lord gave him a vision of these vessels, these vessels that were Christians that had been put in the fire, and some passed the test and some failed the test. And those that passed the test put like what he saw in the spirit was like a barrier. They put a barrier between themselves and their flesh, and, you know, they let the Lord deal with them. And, you know, the cry in my heart for a while has been, Lord, I really want to, you know, I want to be brought to the point where I can say more and more by manifestation, by reality, that Satan hath nothing in me. And I know that the Lord has the power to do that. You know, He's able to do that. So I found myself, like, I know, a couple weeks ago, just, you know, throughout the day, as I was meditating on the Lord, thinking on the Lord, I'm not working a steady job right now, and the Lord has given me time to really just dig deep in His Word and rest in Him and really search my heart. You know, I really want to be faithful with this time and not take it for granted or not just let it pine away, because every moment is precious. And I just found myself throughout the day, you know, as I was experiencing a lot of peace, I had been through some pretty intense spiritual warfare, and I'll just confess here that at times in the past, you know, after going through really intense spiritual warfare, there would be a temptation to just want to kind of rest in the flesh, really, to a degree anyway, you know, because when we're going through purging and really intense spiritual warfare, it's very hard on the flesh. So then I'd get a breakthrough in the past, and I just kind of, I think I'd get a little bit spiritually slothful. And I realized in my, you know, in my heart, as the Lord was digging deeper, that I needed to acknowledge that for
for what it was and say, okay, Lord, I this is something that I've asked you for. I've asked you to go deeper. Now you want to rid me of this. So I just found myself throughout the day saying, okay, now what, Lord? You know, and not really seeking, well, okay, what am I going to do now? What do I want to do now? You know, just even kind of subconsciously, it's like the Lord was just shining his light deeper, and I just found myself asking him. I get done with one thing, whether it be reading the Word or just doing some necessary thing, you know, doing the laundry or whatever, and I just get done, and I felt a lot of peace, and I just found myself asking, okay, Lord, now what? You know, and he was just leading me from one thing to another, and, you know, I just want more of the reality of that in my life every day, or I'm just like, I don't even come to my mind, you know? I'm not on my mind anymore. It's always the Lord, but he's really good to do that. And you know what Amber shared earlier really hit me where I live also, because when she was talking about, you know, the Lord brings conviction. The Lord exposes us to ourselves in the light of his word and his countenance because he loves us and wants to, you know, he wants us to rid ourselves, to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Not so we can stare at the ugliness, you know, like she said, he already knows it's there, and he's exposing it so that we can rid ourselves of it. If we know if we're not walking in any willful sin, you know, and we're seeking the Lord and we're being pleasing to him the best we know how, then, you know, I know probably pretty much everybody on here has prayed, Lord, take me deeper, and the Lord's doing that in so many ways, and so something that came to mind when she was sharing is something that the Lord has reminded me of several times, is that it's very, very important to learn to just, you know, repent and confess and repent quickly when these things in us are exposed, because the fires are going to get very, very hot, and the Lord doesn't want us stewing over some failure or some, you know, exposed sin, but he really wants us to just be able to confess that and repent and then move on. Okay, next thing, you know, and we're cleansed of that. We're, okay, now he wants to take us deeper and keep taking us deeper and not, you know, not get stuck on stewing over it. Because I know for me in the past that was a huge weakness. I tend to stew over something, some failure, something for sometimes a couple days and just beat myself up. And the Lord showed me, well, that in itself even is self-righteousness, because I thought I could have done better, you know, and why did I do that? And I can't believe I failed. I know better than that. But the Lord really helped me realize even what that was, you know. It's like just adding sin to sin. No, he just wants us to, you know, just repent and move on. And that's why these dealings are here, and you know, I know when they increase, the Lord's going to give us grace to walk with him and to go deeper. And in fact, I just kind of feel like I want to pray that for us right now. Lord, I know the fires are about to be turned up intensely, and I just ask for your grace, Lord, that when the things of the flesh in our lives are exposed, Lord, when we go through trials and and the fire brings up the dross, Lord, I just ask for grace for a quick confession, repentance in Jesus' name, Lord, for each one of my brothers and sisters here, so that we can move on in you and follow on to know you more and more, Lord. We thank you that's your will, that's your desire, Lord, is to behold your beauty, Lord. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, Lord, true pleasures. And just give us the grace for this intensifying fires that are coming, Lord, to become more one with you and not dwell on the darkness, Lord, or and including the darkness in ourselves, Lord, but you want us to behold you, Lord, not the darkness you're exposing, but that we behold you so that darkness can be rid of that, Lord. I just pray for grace for the hundredfold. We want the hundredfold manifestation of your glory. I can't see myself, Lord, being satisfied with any less. And I know, Lord, it's impossible with me, but it's all possible with you, Lord, and it's by your power and your grace, and I thank you for that, Lord. Just give us wisdom to enter more into your rest in these days, Lord. And let you be you in us, Lord. Shine forth, Father, so that you can get the glory you deserve in these vessels. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you take us through that fire so that the bonds of wickedness will burn off of us, Lord, and that you'll set us free, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that prayer that Chad prayed, Lord. We believe it, and we're going to stand by it. We're going to endure in our faith to see us walk that walk that you want us to have, Lord, to be wholly cognizant of what you're saying to us, Lord, and how you're leading us, Lord, in every which way that you want us to go, Lord, that we'll be led by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to put us up on the high road, the narrow road, Lord, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to coming. I'm trying to see if I can leave on Thursday morning to come and visit you all. And it'll take me about 8 hours. If that's okay, would that work all right?
When are you coming?
If I can come Thursday morning.
Oh, Thursday morning?
Yeah, I would leave here Thursday morning. It would take 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was asking the Lord whether or not I should, there's a little difficulty on my grandchildren, but I have one child that she's not in school yet, and it'd be easier for them if I brought her with me, and she's four. Is that okay too?
Sure. Sure, yeah, you can bring her. You can bring anybody you want to. Absolutely.
I would appreciate prayer for the traveling and everything.
Okay. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Sue and her grandchild. And, Lord, we thank you that all the way here that she is protected and encased in your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that no dent on her car and no problems with their car, the whole trip there and back, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a blessed time for her and the grandchild too, and everybody here. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen, Sue.
Brother, yes, amen. Thank you, Lord, for allowing
Have you talked with Robin?
No.
Okay.
You
might want to give her a call and let her know you're coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I have her number.
Well, just
I'll get it from Tim because I have his number.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We're looking forward to seeing you, girl.
Oh, I need to come. I need you guys so much. I'm really going through some battles, and I need to be equipped. Big time.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Kind of winding down here. Anybody else need prayer? Undo some people here. Praise God. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that you're doing a work in all of us. You're putting us, Lord, in those trials and that tribulations, Lord, to get rid of the flesh off of all every one of us, Lord. You're slicing that flesh off of us by the pound. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're taking us to that place where we can be of benefit to you, Lord, and to help the people that are coming up and coming into the kingdom here real soon, Lord, during the revival. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Teach us, give us wisdom, give us understanding, Lord. Give us power from on high, but most of all, Lord, give us you. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you that you're our God. We thank you, Lord, that we love you. You've placed that love in our hearts for each other, Lord. We thank you for knitting our hearts together with that golden thread, Father, and we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that when we come together Thursday night, Lord, that the blessings are going to flow. Lord, and that your anointing is going to be so awesome, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies and the praise reports tonight. And we also thank you, Lord, for the prayers that were answered that we've already prayed, Lord. And we believe that all of them will be answered. We thank you for the faith that you have given us to believe that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, you're teaching us to claim that land that you have given us. And that land is all the promises in the Word of God. And we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, and we just praise you for a mighty work and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, to fill us all up, to nudge out any of that darkness that happens to be in us, Lord. And God, we just, we're looking forward to the times ahead, Lord, to where your grace abounds much more than the darkness that's on the earth, Lord. Because we know that in you, we are going to have a blessed time with you, Lord. We're going to see miracles like we've never seen before. We're going to see your mighty workings, Lord, all across this land. We're going to see our loved ones come in because we've endured in our faith to believe. And thank you for it, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for the good weather you've gotten, Lord. Thank you for taking down these chemtrail jockeys, Lord, and giving them a taste of what the curse is that they're putting on people. We know we're not under the curse, and we thank you, Lord, that we're not, that those chemtrails are as naught to us, and we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it looks like all hell is breaking loose in the world. It looks like war is fixing to start. It looks like there is fear everywhere, but Lord, those that are in you have no fear because they know that you have them in your hands, Lord. And we thank you for that. Your hands protect us, Lord. And we thank you for that Psalms 91 prayer that we pray every day for you, Lord. And for our lives and for our loved ones and for the chosen people of God, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for protecting your chosen all across this world in the days ahead, Father. And we thank you for the martyrs, Lord, that have gone and given a good testimony to your love toward them, Lord. Thank you so much. I listened to one today, Lord, that their two brothers had their heads chopped off, but they were declaring you right to the end. And I praise you, Lord, for that stout faith that you have placed in those men, and also to all of your chosen, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody else like to pray?
Yeah, I want to pray, Father, right now. I pray for Michael right now. I just command those sinuses to dry up in the name of Jesus. I command total healing into his sinuses now, and we just rebuke the curse off him now. We just put our faith together and call his sinuses healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, amen. That's another night. Good night, everybody, and God bless.
Good night, everybody.